Okay, so we wanted to wrap up the halacha lemaisa question, and through that, I'll throw out some lumdas as we go along, for women saying havdalah. So last time we spoke about whether they're chayev, which hung a lot on the different drasha, d'oraita, d'rabbanan, and is it modeled on Kiddush, is it not modeled on Kiddush, etc. And then the bizarre discussion around the Ramah that no one really understands of why the Ramah diverges from his normal assumption, which is that even if women are not chayav in a mitzvah says as my grandma, they are allowed to. But there's still some more things to cover around women's chiyuv in Havdalah. So first, just a little bit of history from the Gemara. Right? The Gemara in Brachot Lamed Gimel tells us that our institution of having Havdalah in Tfilah and Havdalah in Alakos is part of an interesting history. So Amar Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Reb Yochanan, Anshei Knesset Agdala, Tiknu Lem Yisrael Brachot, Tfilot, Yisrael, Havdala. So the Anshei Knesset Agdala instituted Brachot and prayers, Kiddush, Havdala, Bitchila Kiva'ua Batfila. Originally, when people were not so wealthy, so they only made it in Tfilah because they didn't have to pay for wine. He'eshiru, they got richer. So then they added on the cup. Chazru, they anu, they got poor again. Kavu betvilah. But then they said, Hamavdil betvilah tzorach sheyavdil alakos. Right? So this went back and forth, but eventually we ended up with what we have, which is twice. We say it once at home and once in. But once alakos and once in tefillah, and as we talked about, right, this leads to the complexity of again, are you fulfilling if it's d'oraita? Are you fulfilling it in tefillah? Does that change the obligation of the man versus the woman? Because the man already davens. Even if you think women are chayev, well, now the woman's only chayev mi d'rabbanan. According to the Mefarish in Nazir, it sounded like even havdalah alayayin is d'oraita, which of course is very much in tension with this Gemara, because if it was d'oraita, you should actually have to do it. But according to this Gemara, they didn't always, which is why that shot in the Mefarish is very complicated. But this is the background to Havdalah. Okay? Now, Havdalah, according to the Gemara, permits two things. What are the two things that Havdalah permits? Good. Well, the obvious one is malacha, right? That's what we've been talking about. But the other one, which we'll see, is in Psachim on Kovei, is that there's an issur to eat before Havdalah. Okay? So, the Yerushalmi tells us that Nashe dinehigan delo lemevet uvda ba'afuke shuvta eno minag ad ivane sidra minag. Right, there was a minag that the Yerushalmi quotes of people not, of women not doing any malacha at all on Motzei Shabbat, at all, no matter what. And the Yerushalmi says that is not a minag. However, until the end of tefillah, that is a valid minhag. Now, you'd wonder, well, why should you have such a minhag? Right, so, again, right, it sounds like this is even if they have said some sort of mavda ben kodesh l'chol, because if they hadn't said mavda ben kodesh l'chol or something like that, then presumably it's ikar hadin. But okay, so they end Shabbos with community. That makes sense. But the Avud Raham says that despite the fact that Yerushalmi rejects such a minhag, apparently, in the time of the Avud Raham, there was indeed such a minhag against the Yerushalmi. That Garsinim Bipsachim Biparek Magrim Shinagu, that Osim Malachim Motzei Shabbatavi Avdam Eina Rosim and Brachol Olam. The Gemara, earlier in our Masechet, says that if you do work on Motzei Shabbat, you won't see Simon Bracha. Now, the simple pshat of that is, before Havdalah. And Havdalah, you're not supposed to do it. Now, technically, you won't be killed if you do Malacha on Motzei Shabbat after Shabbat is over, but before you said Havdalah. But if you don't, if you start doing work before Havdalah, So Avdallah is supposed to be the matir for all the reasons that we've talked about, right? You're supposed to keep Shabbat longer. There's a mitzvah to seven Shabbat, or it's the kavod of Shabbat to first formally end it and escort it out. Right? We've seen these svarot and Avdallahs. You shouldn't do malach until then. So the simple pshat is this is only until Avdallah. And that is, in fact, what the Avudraham says. V'dafka kodem Avdallah kamar ki tibi Yerushalmi v'ragnar shenagu that nashay din igid lomev et avita v'afuke shufta lav minaga. Says that's the Pshat of the Yerushalmi that says that to not do malach olam mozei Shabbat is simply a mistake. Perish eino minag tov adem is sidra minaga. But if you wait till davening, perish ashishu seder tvila. That makes sense until you've said Avdallah or until maybe the community has said Avdallah. That makes sense. And nevertheless, he said that there was a weird minhag, umihu, nago and asham shalosat malacha kol mosei Shabbat. There, in fact, was such a minhag. Now, I don't know of anybody who has such a minhag, do you? No, but the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Aruch HaShulchan, in fact, says that, yeah, the minhag is not a thing. Right, v'anachnu lo shamanu minhag hazeh, shu kineged ha-Yerushalmi, right? The minhag is until malacha, until after Avdallah. Okay, so that we all know, right? That there's a simple pshat that Avdallah is when you are allowed to do malacha. You shouldn't do malacha until then. Okay. Now, we didn't get a chance to do this because it's the end of the year. But the second thing, as Josh correctly notes, is that in addition to malacha, the Gemara also forbids eating before Havdalah. So if I ask you why can't you eat before Havdalah, what would you have said? Bigadol, what's the... Yeah. Good. So one possibility is, as Mo says, is just like many other mitzvot. We say you shouldn't eat before you do the mitzvah because you might get caught up in it. And you'll miss, right? And this is why we tell you not to eat a big meal before mincha, why we tell you not to have a big meal before many mitzvot. Right? But Sfirah Omer, shofar, whatever. Right? You're not supposed to have a big meal or get involved in something before a mitzvah because you might forget. Or it's just not the kavod, right? You should do it right away. But Big Adol, one possibility, as Mo says, is to say that the reason you don't eat before Avdallah is because same reason you don't eat before other mitzvot. Now, what's the problem? That by Avdallah, the Gemara says more than that, right? Because normally, when we tell you not to eat before a mitzvah, what do we tell you not to do? Eat a meal. Right? Eat a meal. Right? And that's like all the beginning of, right, in general. But a snack, in general, you are allowed to do. However, by Havdalah, you're not allowed to. So, based on this, the Rav is Mechadesh that Havdalah actually has two dinim, has tzvei dinim to it. One is, as we talked about, that it is matir of milacha. But he argues that the isser of eating before Avdallah is what? No, is local. It's a fundamental halacha in Avdallah. And the Rav argues as follows that Avdallah tefillah, and not only that, but the Rav says that the tzvei dinim Avdallah are not just two aspects in one Avdallah, but lechatchila should be expressed through the two different Avdallah that we say. Exactly. So the Rav argues that Avdallah b'tfilah matira b'malacha. The Avdallah in tfilah is the one that permits working, permits malacha. And therefore, all you need to do is separate Zem Avdallah and Kodesh Lachol. But the Rav thinks that the eating of Avdallah is fundamental. Right? Because the Rav picks up on the fact that if we have two Avdallahs, one of them is merely words that say Zem Avdallah and Kodesh Lachol, and the other one is Alakos, and the two things that Havdalah is matir are doing malacha and the other is eating. So the Rav says maybe it's not accidental that one of the Havdalot has food as part of it. And just like by Kiddush, we talked about that maybe the food is central, or especially in Kiddush Hayom, maybe it's part of, it's really not about Havdalah as much as it is Havdalah al, right? It's Su'uda al Hayayin. right, that it's part of the meal. The Rav argues that Havdalah ala kos, the yayin, the fact that it's meal worthy, is actually fundamental to its process. And therefore he says, Havdalah ala kos misayemet sudat shabbat v'gomra et kiyuma. Havdalah, which is said on the cup of wine, is the closing of the Shabbat meals. It ends their fulfillment because Majlo Nishlam Kiyum Seder Sudat Shabbat. And until you end the food eating of Shabbat, V'lochal Mavzik Shavdal goes to Asr Lechol. Then you can't eat. Now, what is the evidence for not necessarily the Rav Svara, but for the idea that the issur of eating before Havdalah isn't, as Mo claimed, just another don't eat before a mitzvah because you might forget, but is essential to the very definition of Havdalah, is that the standards are stricter. And the Gemara, therefore, in Kuf Hei, says that the Isser is even on drinking something, right? Not water. The Gemara says water is mutter. Shtia nami lamra el b'chamra v'shechra. Aval maya liz lan ba. But water is mutter. But that shows you, as Shulchan Aruch says, that aser lechol shum davar afilu lishtot yayin oshar mashkin. You can't eat anything, even water. Sorry, except for water. Until you make Havdalah. Unless, what's the only exception? If you're in the middle of a Shabbat meal. We all know this, right? You have Sudat Shlishin, it continues, then you're allowed to continue. What's the logic behind saying that you can't have any food unless you're in the middle of Shabbat Shlishin, and then you can have whatever you want? Because if the issur of eating is about ending, that you have to end the Sudot Shabbat and start the meals of the week, so as long as you're in the middle of the Shabbat meal, you can eat whatever you want. And once you've finished eating the Shabbat meal, you can't eat anything. Right? You can't eat anything. And again, today we're just going to have to sort of run through things, but this is enough at least to point to the fact that there is evidence in the Gemara that the Isser of eating before Havdalah is unique, right? It's not part of the general Isser of eating before a mitzvah, but is unique, right? And the Rav's argument that it's part of Sudot Shabbat, right, is again evidenced by the fact that as long as you're still in the middle of Sudat Shlishit, you can continue eating whatever you want. And the second you finish, you can't have anything except possibly water. Water you can have. Right now, I'm not getting to the mystical stuff about water because mystically you shouldn't have that. But I'm not getting to the mystical thing now. No, oh yeah, I'm not going to do it now because it's a fascinating sugya. What? What about mysticism?
Okay, thank you.
I'm very happy for you. I'm so glad that you love mysticism. Okay. Now that we've established that, look, I will note that this mysticism is very interesting because the source is not where you would think. It's the Balei HaTosfot. It's the Rishonim. It's in classic halachic sources. The Rush. All types of wonderful sources, and it's very weird. And it's not just that the Balei HaTosfot are like, well, obviously, you can't eat. You can't even have water then, because it's very weird stuff because it gets into Right? There's all these traditions that appear in Tosfot in the Rush that on Shabbat the hellfire goes off, and when you eat on Motzei Shabbat, you reignite hellfire. All the Baalei Tosfot tell this story of, as we all know, that horrible story that happened, Masa Bilotir, that there was the story in Lotir, however you pronounce it in French, that people ate and they were damaged. That's all he says. He's like, we all know that, right? Everyone's heard that story, right? That's the well-known story amongst...
That's ominous.
Yes, it is very ominous, but it's in...
What happened to them?
Let me see.
They were damaged. Would you like to be there?
No. Let's see if I can... I'll take 1 second and see if I can find this. Let's see. Okay, let's see if I can find it. I wrote a graduate paper on this in my magic mysticism and liturgy class.
Oh, at Hogwarts.
What?
At Hogwarts.
Yeah, fun sugya. Yeah, I did find it. It's weird stuff. Weird stuff. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't so long. Okay. Now, further evidence of the fact that this is more fundamental appears on the rest of that sugya on Kuf Hey. Right, the Gemara even quotes positions that if you eat, you are no longer allowed to make Havdalah. Right, if you eat before Havdalah, you're not even allowed to eat. You're not allowed to make Havdalah anymore. Right, this the bottom of Kuf Hey Amud Bet. The Gemara says Shma Mina Tam Mavdil. Right, needs to prove that the one who says right that even though you ate, you're allowed to say Havdalah. But the fact that you're allowed to even say such a thing, right, that the Gemara quotes it, right, a machloket about this or a Havamina, this is not the case. Just shows you how fundamental it is. Yeah.
It's part of it, the fact that.
Yeah, that's a standard one. Yeah, that's pretty standard. Yeah. What? I mean, that's just a standard thing because you can't drink then. You can't drink wine then.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
We would reuse the same cook.
Right. No, that's a very standard minhag. Yeah. Once you've finished Sudat Shabbat and you haven't made Havdalah, so what are you supposed to do? You can't drink the wine. So, okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, from
benching.
Fine.
Okay, so now let's talk a little about who drinks the wine and whether women can drink the wine. And this, for a parting gift for Josh, I included Ari Zivotofsky's article. So who drinks? So if you look at the Machzor Vitri says, Ukishu shote male lugmav umatim leveto levnei veto. When you drink, you have melo lugmav, and you can give your wife, you can give your kids. Which makes this very similar to what?
Kiddush.
Right? You have to have a melo lugmav, and then everybody else can drink. Should they drink? So Rasaja Gaon says clearly not. So he's quoted in the tour. V'show them a lugmav matav neveto, but Rasaja called them ein shrichem neveto litom mikol shol bracha. Right, so the Torah himself seems to say that other people should drink. Now, like we saw by Kiddush, why might you say that it's better for other people to drink? Again, here we're going to do a lot of chazara. It's going to be good. Why would you say other people should drink? So either just chavivra mitzvah, like we saw by Kiddush, or like the Grizz, maybe it's more fundamental, right? If you think that the Rav is right, that somehow this ends Sudot Shabbat, right, so maybe everybody should somehow participate in it. Something like that, right? However, Sajigun says definitely you do not have to. Okay? However, there are some who say that not only does not everybody have to drink, but nobody else should drink. Now, there's the formal halachic reason for this, and then there's the weird mystical reason for it. Okay, what's the formal reason that many of the poskim think that only the person making Avdalah should drink? Because they think that unlike Kiddush, which begins a meal, and therefore it's already chashuv and it's integrated into a meal, Havdalah is standalone. And in order to make it a significant shtia, they want you to drink enough to be chayav in... No. Bracha achrona. Not benching, right?
No, bracha achrona is how much?
Ah, good. So how much is a bracha achrona? What? Yeah, exactly. Right? Meaning it's not milo lugmav. You don't, right? You say the bracha achrona only if you've had revi'it. Right? Correct. Right. And therefore, some of the poskim, this is from the Shibboleth Aleket. Shibboleth Aleket writes, Kol shavdalah de'ein regil l'ashkot b'menu et b'nei abayit v'et b'nei amisiba mavdil ragal lishtot kulo shechayev levarech acharav. Right? You want him to make the bracha afterwards. And therefore, he doesn't share. Because if he shares, he might not drink enough wine. Now, not everyone agrees to this. You should know that there's a machloket. Mr. Brewer quotes different positions on this and whether we pass on halacha. But
I think we would prefer everybody else to drink at least what? A malo. We're saying if other people are going to drink, we would prefer they drink a malo lugmav, but we want them.
No, we want the shotet of malo lugmav, but we want him to also make a bracha achrona. So if he starts giving to other people, he won't drink
so
enough.
Why doesn't he just drink the pure person and give the rest to other
if there's people? Leftover, if he has a huge cup. Right. But if you're just having, if you have a cup which says it just has enough to reveal it, so then he has to drink it. Right? Now, again, you see, there's a machloket. Right? Rasajagon assumes, the Torah assumes that all you need to do is have a little lugma. But there was this minhag to say that Avdalah is more chashuv, so you need to have enough for bracha achrona. Based on this, the minhag developed that women didn't drink. Why didn't women drink?
Because then there wouldn't be enough.
Because they weren't, same reason, because they weren't the person making it. That's all. Nothing. And that's what the Magen Avraham says. The Magen Avraham says, right? The Magen Avraham says that Nagu Anashim Shelo Lishtot Mikos Avdala. This is, I'm on 12. I'm just, you know, running through this. Number 12. Now, Nagu Anashim Shelo Lishtot Mikos Avdala. And again, I told you, these translations are from Derecha, if you want to look more there. Katav Vishibale Aleket, Behilchot Kittish, Kos Shel Avdala, Ragel Amavdil Lishtot Kulo Vein, Mashkamen, Vene Veitel. However, there were others who said that it's not just that the reason that women didn't drink was because people were being machmir like Shibboleth Aleket, and therefore the person making Avdalah was the one drinking. There are all types of weird reasons that emerge to say that not only should women not drink if they're not making the Avdalah, but that women shouldn't drink.
At all.
Exactly. So some sources based it on this very odd idea that the Midrash suggests there are different shitot of what the fruit of the forbidden fruit was in the Eitz HaDaat Ovara. One day in Chazal is grapes. Right? Like this Breshit Rabba, V'diyangwe Rabba Dochal, Amar Rabbi Ayevo, Sachta Anavim V'natna Lo. So based on this, certain mystical sources claim that why don't women have from the Havdalah wine?
It's like the
Bechira
for the...
because somehow they were, like, she was trying to, you know, get Adam to sin, right, to separate herself from Adam, right, sinning, etc. And therefore this comes up with this idea, this is from the Torah at Yaakov, Shechad Badan Rishon Geffen, Haitav Amru Malami Shesach Lanav Natan Lo, Vehem Suriya Geffen Achriya, Kovad Kasa Tarei La, Kos Chamato. All these angry things, right? V'lefishin et gavin al yadam yadam al yidei yayin, Eina Nashim Tomat Yayin Shal Avdallah. So there are these mystical reasons. Some raise other halachic reasons. So, for example, Rizr Zalman Meltzer, and this is quoted by Ritzvi Bezer Frank, says that why don't they drink, because maybe they're not chayav in Avdallah. If they're not chayav in Avdallah, then her amen is a hefsek before hagafen, because you say hagafen first, right? You say hagafen, and then you say, you guys have made Avdallah before? Hagafen b'samim, ner, and then I'm Avdallah. But if women aren't obligated, so then it's a hefsek.
Interesting.
Ritzi Pesach himself says, oh, come on. Well, Pianal, Amar, Sheere Agon, Agos, Agon, Revisor Zalman Meltzer, Zatzala, Teitam, Gamim, Kinan, Alachal, Zeshon, Agon, Ezelotom, Meyayan, Jokos, Avdallah, Mishum, Dan, Choshin, Shema, Halach, Yishida, Omrim, Nashim, Pturim, Avdallah. He said, maybe women are Pturo. Lushita Zuha, Amen, Shuosa, Shalbra, Birchara, Orv, Avdallah, Eve, Hefsik, Ben, Berber, Agafen, Shiotzim, Mipi, Abal, Ishtiav, Yeshlang, Tzad, Possessor, Yisof, Kolsovi, Chayavit, Leave, Avdam, Yisafek. But he says, oh, come on. Misafik, they should say Avdallah. Vigam chiyuv mafzik evi chiyuv. Right? Like, suet lovi avzik. He said, whatever level of their obligation they are, they're supposed to have Avdallah because they might be chayav. Or you could say that maybe it's not a, if they can, if they're allowed to make Avdallah, so they're still somehow shayach. What is this idea that it's a hefsik, right? If women are allowed to, right? If you hold like the Magen Avraham, you hold like, and not like the Ramah, so they integrate somehow in Avdallah. What is it? A hefsik? Because she should have said, Amen on the Gafen and drank. And now you're waiting all the other brachot and Amavdil, and she's not chayev. Yes, but if she wants to drink. Now, of course, you could solve this. So according to this, you would solve it by telling her to make her own bracha. Right? This would only explain why the woman doesn't have it while being yotze with her husband's bracha. Right? But realistically, that's not what people usually do. And therefore, he says that's why people don't drink. The Mishnah Brura that turns on his head. The Mishnah Brura says, no, really, women are chayiv in Avdallah. We already said that. So why is it that women don't make Avdallah? So you could say it's like the Ramah who says that women aren't allowed to say Avdallah. The Mishnah Brura says, no, it's because they don't drink. Right? Not, they're not chayv and Avdallah and therefore they don't drink. The minhag is for them not to drink the wine, and that's why they don't say Avdallah.
Fascinating.
Right? He said last week we talked about why is it that women shouldn't make Avdallah, and we didn't understand the Ramah. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's very simple. Because of all these weird minhagim that emerged that women shouldn't drink. Well, if they aren't going to drink, they shouldn't make Avdallah. El kavanah magen Avram lahakel b'shem ein la mimi la tzei da'az bal karcha tavdil azim v'tishrik v'shalatel mitzvah Avdallah. And the Aruch HaShulchan said the very simple response to this, which is, but why shouldn't they drink? You have not explained this. Don't tell me there's a weird minhag for them not to drink. Aha, they haven't drunk the wine. That's why they shouldn't make Avdallah. The Aruch HaShulchan's like, I don't know. What are you doing to me? I don't know why they shouldn't drink. They're obviously chayiv in Avdallah. So what? Because of some bizarre minhag that they shouldn't drink? So they should make Avdallah? He's like, oh, come on. Right? And he says, this is classic Aruch HaShulchan. I heard people say, how should women say Avdallah? They aren't supposed to drink. And he said, I'm shocked. Dadu dinahu? There's no such halacha. They shouldn't drink minhag ba'almahu. V'lokul and choshul lazeh. It's a minhag. Not everybody cares. Upshita. Kshem avdila. Tshichal lishchot. So if they make avdol, so drink.
Wait, I don't understand. Why would they need to drink anyway? Because the mvarek is drinking and they don't need to, no?
What?
This is all just assuming they want to drink, but they still don't have to.
Correct. Drink. Correct.
So if
now,
drink, then none of these problems exist.
Right. And then there's this very, very bizarre idea that emerged, which is that why shouldn't they drink the wine? Because they will grow a beard. Because they will grow a beard. Ah, they'll grow a beard. So the Chazon Ish apparently was asked about this. This is just hysterical. This is very classic Chazon Ish. That he was asked. Okay, this is a story of the Chazon Ish. There were a lot of kids lining up to get Kiddush wine, from Havdalah wine from the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish, Mashke Yayin Minakos. He would give them the wine. And there was a little girl who came and said, I want also. And this Talmud Chacham said to his daughter, no, don't drink the wine, honey. If you do, you'll grow a beard. HaChazonish Shaman Advarim Chiech Vamar. The Chazonish heard it and he left. And he smiled and he said, he says, no, Lolam Yish Tot. There, or in Yiddish, De Velt Hot Atot. Right, the world's making a mistake. You didn't get it. Lo misha shote god lo zakin, el misha god lo zakin, ushoise. It's not that someone who drinks will grow a beard. It's the people who grow beards are supposed to drink. Meaning, right? Men are supposed to make Abdullah. You got it wrong, right? You flipped it. Now, where did this bizarre idea come from that you'll grow a beard from this? So here I'm going to take a little aside for Josh, and I'm going to, right, so Rabbi Ari Zivitovsky has an article on it. You can read through it, but I will run through it, right? So he says, okay, he starts off by saying, are women chayav in Avdalah? He quotes the whole machloket. Some people say it is, some people say it isn't. Even if they're not chayav, the Ramah says that they should say, the Ramah says they can't, but the Magen Avraham says they can, right? All that you know. Yeah? Good. The Magen Avraham quotes this mystical minhag for all the different minhag that women shouldn't drink. Some are technical, as we saw, which is because we want the person drinking to have enough to make a bracha achrona. Then there's the shalaz reason that Chava wanted to separate herself from her husband. Now, oh, someone asked me about this. So what does that mean? So the continuation of that mystical tradition is that God granted her wish and made women start menstruating and instituted the halacha of Nida, right? As, don't ask. A related reason of the Big Day Yesha was that the 39 malachot on Shabbat mystically are parallel to the 39 curses that we were given because of the snake. And therefore, the Isser Malacha is the fault of women to begin with. And therefore, they shouldn't be involved in Avdol. This is the Big Day Yesha. Rav Yeshaya Viner, 1777, Prague. Weird. Yeah. The other halachic reason that we saw is Rav Pesach Frank is the Hefsek. Rav Menashe Klein gives two other reasons to reject Resistor Zalman Meltzer. One is that, as I said to Kobe, if the reason was hefsek, so then you wouldn't say that women can't drink from the Kiddush wine, Avdala wine, what would you say? They need to make their own bracha. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Second of all, as I said before, even if she doesn't have to say Avdala, presumably it is halachically. Yeah, and meaningful, right? According to most achronim, even if they don't have to, it's a mitzvah in Rama they're allowed to do. If they're allowed to do it, so then it's meaningful, so it's not a hefsek, right? Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld gives another reason why women don't drink the Havdalah wine. The Torah quotes the Yerushalmi that there was this minhag that women wouldn't do malacha motzei Shabbat, right? So maybe this is, they don't drink the wine because there was this minhag of women, correct or not, of keeping more Shabbos. Now, what nafkamina would it be? So, now, this classic Ari Zivitovsky, so he says, well, what would a nafkamina be? So, what if you made Avdallah on Chamer Medina? If it's about hefsek, or it's about lengthening Shabbat, so then, should the woman drink the wine?
No.
No. But if it's like mystically, you shouldn't drink wine because wine reminds you of the sin of Chava specifically, then as long as you did it on beer, fine. Now, there is an amazing sheet of Rav Kook. Amazing sheet of Rav Kook. Rav Kook took this minhag so seriously that women shouldn't drink wine from the Havdalah wine, that, and this is only for my Shana Bet guys. No. This is your suggestion here, okay? Cook comes up with the following Kiddush. During Shemitah, remember, you are not allowed to do things that will lead to the destruction of Shemitah produce. So one of the things that the Gemara says you're not allowed to do is...
Oh, my God.
Be makdish it, because then you are mimayit shotav. You minimize the one drinking it. Rav Kook takes it so seriously, he suggests that during Shemitah, you should never use wine for Avdallah at all. You should only use Chamer Medina, because if you use wine, women won't drink it, and you were mimayit mishotav, and therefore it's part of the destruction of Shemitah. Yeah, this is your Tarmi die for me. It's a lot. Again, this is a very late minhag because Rav Amram Gon, Machzor Vitri, all clearly said, as we saw already in the Tzara's Gon, that anyone can drink, the whole family. Right, you don't have to, but you're allowed to. And the Leket Yosher quotes from the Tumen Edeshan that his minhag was specifically to give the wine to his wife. So based on all that, Rav Zivotofsky says, I will quote him, this all said, I have been unable to find any source that postulates hairy consequences as a result of women drinking the Avdallah wine. Any such source would have to be late, because as shown, the entire custom is relatively... recent. So I don't know what to tell you. So where does he think it comes from? So here he makes his suggestions. He said one possibility is that it's an exaggerated warning, which was meant to show that this is a male mitzvah, and this expressed itself in the idea that you would become manly if you drank the wine. He said that the closest source he found for this is in, and this is why he's amazing, in the Hashmatot section of the Sefer Matmanim of Rav Yitzchak Lipiatz in the 5753 reprint in the 1891 edition, where he explains that it's because women do not have beards that they're prohibited from drinking Avdallah wine. Not the other way around. He offers no explanation for this. He offers no explanation for the seemingly bizarre connection, but what could imagine that such a statement could easily lead others to conclude that if she did drink it, she should grow a beard. However, despite the inclusion of the statement in Sefer Matmanim, it does not seem to have been a widespread idea, and I have been unable to find it recorded elsewhere. Sefer Matmanim compares with a similar explanation, which he directs one to the book Avodat Yisrael, the Kashrus Tzur Magid, where a similarly strange statement is made about Sudah Shlishit. In Avodat Yisrael, it is stated that based on a statement of the Arizal, we learn that because women do not have beards, dikna, they are exempt from Sudah Shlishit, the third meal, which the Arizal called Sudata Didikna, the meal of the beard. Now, this is odd because women are chayv in Sudat Shlishi. Now, he's like, it's true that Chazal in general didn't like body hair on women. They think it's a bad thing. It's not attractive. I don't know. Then he says that the Gemara... does say... that drinking beer causes unwanted hair. So he actually suggests that maybe it started the other way, that people used to, that in Europe where they didn't have wine, they made it on beer. And because the Gemara says that beer might lead to unwanted hair, people wouldn't have women drink beer, right? And then when people started having wine, they tried to figure out why they shouldn't do it. And then they said, oh, because something to do with body hair. So that is how his suggestion came to it. That is the closing parentheses on that bizarreness, but that is, but you should know that's where this comes from. Fine. And that's the, right, and that's based on number 19 here, right, that Amar of Nachman Barbibi, Deshate Shichra, Bayan Bante Tifla, that if someone drinks beer, his daughters will need depilatory cream to get rid of their hair. And Anand Lo Shatin and Shikra, Lo Bain and Bandan Tifla. Because we don't drink beer, they don't need depilatory cream. So he argues that that's where it came from. Okay? So that's a little bit about, so we've now covered a few other things in Avdallah. We talked about the centrality of drinking. We talked about the possibility that uniquely here you should drink a full revia, but we saw that's a machloket. We saw the possibility, several halachic and mystical ones, as to why women might not drink from it. Again, we saw that's a machloket. But tochid, we also saw the Rav's lamdus, right, that Havdalah is not just a matir in malacha, but it's a matir in achila. And his, the Rav's suggestion that kiddush, that Havdalah in tefillah is matir of malacha, and Havdalah in al hakos is the ending of the sudot Shabbat and the beginning of the sudot achal. And that might explain why it's more chamir, that it's not a localized halacha, why you can't have anything except for water, and why it is that if you're in the middle of Sudash Shishit, you're allowed to, and why the Gemara has a discussion, we poskin against it, but the Gemara has an actual discussion that if you eat before Havdalah, you might not be allowed to make Havdalah, which just shows how central that is and bolsters the Rav's idea that maybe Havdalah al hakos, right, just like we saw by Kiddush al hakos, that it's a din suda, that Havdalah al hakos might also have a din suda of sorts al hakos. Okay? Good. In addition, however, to the bracha of yayin, the bracha of hamavdil, we have two other bracha that we need to briefly deal with, and that is b'samim v'neish. Very good, right? So, where does the idea of b'samim come from? So according to, well, yes, it comes from the Gemara. But what's the Svar? Right? The Gemara just lists it in our perek, right? Yaknahas, right? All the different things we say. But why? So why do we say it? So here you have two deot, okay? But they're related. The basic idea of besamim is that
heard it, so it's something to do with losing the neshama yisera.
Yes. So, but the basic idea is to make you happy. Now, why is it that you're sad? So here, Tosfot says that it's based on neshama yitera. So the Gemara in Beitza Tetzayin says, "Damar Rishon ben Lakish neshama yitera noten Hakadosh Baruch Hu ba'adam erev Shabbat u'motzei Shabbat notlin otam heimenu shneamar Shabbat vayinafash kevan sheShabbat vay avdo nefesh." Like you get an extra soul on Shabbat, whatever that means. We saw, you know, there are at least five deot that I know of what this extra soul is. And therefore, when Shabbat is over, you say, whoa, vayinavash, vayavdanefesh, I've lost my extra soul. Based on this, Tosfot argues that the reason you smell the besamim is to make yourself happy because you lost your soul. The mevarchen ha-besamim motzei Shabbat, mishum nefesh yiteira, sha'avaru, miriach ha-besamim, miyashiv daito. You don't have it. And the Tosfot further says, why don't you say Havdalah with a Bisamim on Motzei Shabbat when it's Yom Tov? So he says, because you have, it's Yom Tov, it's happy, you're having meals and whatever, and therefore it makes up for it. The Rambam says differently. The Rambam says, "V'lama mevarchen al b'sam motzei Shabbat b'pnei shanefesh do'evet liyitziat Shabbat," because the soul is sad over the leaving of Shabbat. Misamchen atom yashem do b'reichatov. Does he quote anything about soul? No, he doesn't say anything about the soul. However, is he necessarily arguing on Tosfot? No, why not? Because famously, what does Rashi think Neshama Yitera is? Not an extra soul, but Harchavat HaNefesh, the ability to be at peace. Right? God, like Shabbat is just a time when you have the ability to right? To be at peace. Okay? Now, what is the nature? I should have given you more makar, but again, we're rushing. But what is the nature of the mitzvah b'sam? So it's clear that why we say it is somehow to make you happy, even for losing the soul, or simply because, you know, Shabbat is over. No, that's fine. But now, no. That's great. So now, tell me. So what is my all-time favorite chakira? I always ask you whenever you find something like this. Why or what, right? Meaning, everyone agrees that why you do this is because it makes you happy. But then you have to ask, what? Meaning, what's the what here? Is it for, but once we did that, is it integrated, is it actually part of the mitzvah of Abdullah? Or is it just a birchat hanenin? Meaning, we do it to make you have pleasure. Is that all it is, and this is just a birchat hanenin that we happen to with Abdullah? Or, just like by Yayin, it integrates into the Havdalah. Well, how would you test that? What? Very good. So everyone agrees it's not ma'akev, but slightly less than ma'akev is if you don't have it readily available, should you pursue it? So, yeah. Oh, very good, right? You could have also looked at the hefsek, right? But the standard one in Rishonim, but very good, right? Is that indicates that it is linked. But there is a machlok in Rishonim. So the Gemara in Brachot Nun Gimel and Bet says that if you don't have a nair for Bor Mareish, you don't have to spend too much effort looking for it. So what about Besamim? The Ravid and the Rosh say you have no chiyuv to chase after it, right? They say Kal Vachomer. If you don't have to chase after the Eish, which sounds more formal, right? Because as we saw in Agadata, and we'll get to it in a minute, Eish, we do because that was when God created fire or let man create fire. So Kal Vachomer, you don't have to chase the Besamim because it's just Hana'ah. It's just Hana'ah. The Me'iri quotes this and rejects it. And this is Brachot Nun Gimel. And he says that Lichvod Shabbat Hutkenu. Okay? So the Me'iri comes up with a very lumdish svara. What's his svara? It's not really that the reason that you are saying it is for you. Why are you doing it? Yeah, how? So he writes like this: Sha'ala b'sam mechazrin shalkot shabbat huktenu lohodan neshama yitera. It's a declaration of the fact that on Shabbat we have a neshama yitera. Meaning, it's not for your enjoyment because you lost your soul. It's to publicize the fact that on Shabbat we have a neshama yitera, and therefore we are sad on Motzei Shabbat. But it wasn't meaning we take advantage of the fact that you are sad. Meaning, we draw attention to the fact that you should be sad to give kavod to Shabbat to show what Shabbat provides for you. Right? So it's not a birchat hanaah, it's your lack, the fact that you're sad on Motzei Shabbat is, and the fact that we care that you're sad on Motzei Shabbat is to draw attention to uniqueness of Shabbat. And therefore it is, formal.
Yeah, well, and honestly, if you don't get rid of that, and so even if you're not actually sad,
well then we still have this formalized thing to show you, like, well, here's the thing to make right. up for the fact that, like,
exactly.
you should be sad. This is the thing to make you happy. To make
exactly. Now, lehalacha we paskin, you don't have to mechazer achareim. Now, the major nafkamina that everyone was talking about a lot during Corona, but was one of my friend's favorite nafkaminas because he is anismic. What is anismic?
Unable to smell,
correct. Deaf in the nose. Yeah. So this is actually the earliest anismic Jew we know of is the Rivak, one of the Baliatos, or the order of the Yechusei Tanim B'Marim, because he asked the Or Zarua, I am anismic. Am I allowed to say Besamim in Avdallah? So you would say that at first glance, what would it be?
No.
Well, if it's a Birchat Hananin, no. If it's a birchat, a mitzvah, then yes, right? Right? So this is some of the...
Even is a bracha on like actually having the sensation of smelling it, or is it on...
Right, now there's also the...
It to your nose is inhaled.
Well, now there's the middle approach, which is you could make the bracha for other people if you can make it for other people, because maybe it's somewhere in between, guys, right? It's right. So one way is maybe you could do it if other people are there because you're making it for other people, and it's somewhere in between a mitzvah and anah. The other way is to go, and admittedly, some of the achronim pull very weird moves, like Mo, which is to say no. Smell is spiritual, and therefore you are smelling whether you know it or not.
That's not true. You can't make a
bracha
on wood if you have no arms.
Yes, but this is spiritual. So this is a major machloket in the Achronim. So I will just quote very quickly, okay? Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you can't smell, you can make the bracha, but only for other people. Right? Which shows that he thinks it's somewhere between a berachat hananen and a berachat mitzvah.
If you're blind, can you say forever?
The Rov Achronim, the Taz, Morgan Avraham, Mishnah Berurah, Yalkut Yosef, say, even if someone else is not there, even if someone else is there, you're not allowed to because it is just a berachat hananen. There are a minority of Achronim who said that you can do it even when there's no one else there because it's spiritual. If I remember, it's in the Yosef Ometz. Now, okay, that's a little bit of the lumjus on this, okay? Now, if we bring that back to us, so what would you say? Can women make it? Obviously, right? Why? Because either they're chayv and avdallah, and it might be part of avdallah, and it, let's say it's a pure berachat hananen, then they can still make it, right? Bichlal, and that is what the Magen Avraham says. There is very little lumdus. Once you get through it, the point is, look, mamanashach. Either it is a pure berachat hananen in which women obviously can make a bracha on it, because even if they're not chayv, so let them smell. It's not a bracha of avdallah. If they wanted to pick up bisamim and smell it today, for no reason, they could do that. It's a berachat hananen. Yeah. And if it integrates into Avdallah, according to Rov Shitot, they're chayav. And even if it is formal, they could choose to do it as pure berachat hananen. So there's basically no svara you could get to. Could you possibly come up with a svara that could say that women couldn't do it? Yes, I could come up with one case. In what case should women not be able to say it? Very good. If women are anismic, right? So then maybe the fact that according to the majority of Achronim, someone who's anismic can't say Avdallah, plus the fact that women aren't chayv in Avdallah, so you would have to be, in order for an anismic woman to say Avdallah with Bisamim, you would have to be relying on the sheet that the women are chayv in Avdallah and the minority position that Bisamim integrates into Avdallah, because normally we say anismic people shouldn't say Bechlal, so maybe an anismic woman shouldn't say the bracha on Bisamim. But Enochanami, most Achronim think that an anismic man shouldn't say it either. But Pashut Pshat is that whether you think the Bisamim is pure Hana'ah or the mitzvah, even if it is the mitzvah, so women could say Midin Hana'ah. Who cares? There's nothing stopping them from doing that. And that is why the Magen Avraham says in no uncertain terms that what? Upashut the Magen Avraham says it is obvious that if a woman wants to say Bisamim, she can. And she wants to say Agafen, for all I care, she can. Because even if you say they are also Birchot HaMitzvah, they can and normally are Birchot HaNen. So what's the worst that'll happen? The woman says Bisamim, and it's only a berachat hananen. Guess what? That's not a bracha levatola. And if she says hagafen and drinks wine, guess what? It's a bracha on hagafen. And therefore, there is basically, the lumdus is very interesting. We ran through it way too quickly. But the bigger nafkamina is all the fun tshuvot during Corona, which was, could people who didn't have a sense of smell? You should know, by the way, theoretically, I came up with a nafkamina from an anismic woman, but you should know that doesn't really happen, because anismic is usually a Y-linked genetic disorder, it almost always affects men. I will Google it for you. Anismic.
I mean, I guess what you would have to say is like, what if your nose is stopped?
I think it's anismic. Did I get it wrong? Wait.
Nose deaf.
Yeah. I will. So when I was in high school, my first person I knew. Sorry, anosmic. I'm sorry, anosmic. When I was in high school, Rabbi Har was anosmic, and therefore he said he. The deal he made with his wife that he would change diapers because he can't smell it anyways. So let's see. Okay. I'll tell you quickly. But yeah, with COVID, that was when you started seeing women asking about this. 1 to 2% of North Americans report problems with their sense of smell, getting more common as you get older.
This actually exists,
it's more common in women with women, and this is apparently not just true of anosmia, it's even apparently true of aging, that even amongst aging, a quarter of men start having smelling problems and only 11% of women. Let's see, wait, men versus women anosmia. In general, women have a stronger sense of smell. I'm getting articles on odor, sex differences in odor hedonic perception. I don't know. It's a why thing. It's mostly men, okay? And apparently after chemotherapy, men... men get it back more. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. It's mostly men. I don't know. I don't find numbers. Yeah. Possibly, right? I mean, that would come to some of the things. Is it formal? Is it not? Is it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But in general, by the way, that is, I think, what people do if you have... I think the more common minhag is that if someone is anosmic, if someone else makes besamim, I think that's the minhag in general. Yeah, and probably I guess his wife. Yeah, and what you know, I assume or the you know.
Now what if they're both?
Which would be very rare, but not rare if both of them had COVID at the same time. No, that was what. No, honestly, the reason this was no joke. The reason this was such a shaila during COVID. Was not just people lost their sense of smell, was because families would get it, right? Meaning, because even if, you know, I have a very good friend who's an anosmic, but his wife isn't, his kids aren't, or maybe his kids are, I don't know actually, but his wife is not, so fine. But during COVID, the whole family got it together, so now, right? So that's why the Shaila came up, and that's why suddenly this tshuva and the Rivak became everybody's favorite, tshuva, because, anyways. Okay, so that's a little bit on Bisamim. Both in the lumdos of besamim in general at hyperspeed, right? Which was the machloket about whether you have to chase after it or not, and therefore you can be both see people not getting ana and people are anosmic, and all roads leading to the fact, but if women want to say the bracha, they can, because like, why not? I don't understand. I mean, maybe if you think it's formal and they're not chayv and Abdullah, they shouldn't be motzi other people, but okay. By the way, that also means that in general, the poskim do say that if you can't get to the, like if you can't get near the person making, let's say you're in shul and you're being yotzei with the person in shul, right? So the poskim do say that you should probably make your own besamim later, right? Like, you know, like you can't get there, not really part of it, right? Because again, it's hana'a and you're not participating in his by this point, right? So this is...
How long is considered an episode?
So 1 second. There's also, by the way, interesting things just worth noting about whether you say in everything Bari Mineva Samim, right? Standard Ashkenazi Psak, for some reason that you say Bari Mineva Samim, at least for this, no matter what Besamim you're using, which again might be that it's more formal, right? Because normally you distinguish Atze Besamim depending on where it comes from. The Svardim. Right, so either it's because they think that, you know, people are going to make mistakes, right? They don't know the different halacha, or because they formalize it, and the bracha for this is Rabbi Zamim. Sfaradim don't. They say, the standard minhag is they say whatever birchat hanen and you would on this thing. They also have a minhag to use hadasim. But if you can't smell, da da da. Yeah, and part of the, one of the nafkamin is for being, mostly, not really linked to Avdallah, is that Shulchan Aruch just says that if you want, you can just say b'sam later, right? Like separate from Avdallah, right? It clearly is somewhat standalone. Yeah.
Are there like objective like meaning to use for
the
salmon? Like, or is it based on if a person likes the smell?
Like, whatever you like. I mean, again, Sfaradim, so Sfaradim and the Minhag use
Hadasim. But if you're saying that it's like a thing about
correct, so
you don't like that smell, are you using it?
I mean, you're Yotze, but yeah, I mean, in general, yeah, why not get something you like? I happen to like Hadasim a lot, but Hadasim dry out very quickly.
Yeah.
But people have all types of interesting Minhagim. I don't really know where the Minhag came to use cloves. You know, and then there are all the people who like putting the cloves in, like the etrog. You've seen that?
Yeah.
What's really cool is when they have the clove boxes that are towers.
Yes, the towers.
If you have like an
I will point out, there's also an interesting machlok in the postgame of whether you're supposed to hold the besamim or not, right? Like as part of Havdalah, right? Like, or you only when you're actually making the bracha.
Like you would have the Kiddush cup
in one hand. And the Avdallah the other one, correct. Yeah. And like in your other hand.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. We have a little bit of time. We started a little bit early, which was good, so we could just polish off, you know.
One of the most curious
that I have done, what I have at least to do with is. Okay, so now let's just talk about Aish. So Aish, we saw a lot, again, in Agadata, where the Bavli and the Yerushalmi both have versions of creation story, right? So I'm not going to totally rehash it, but if you remember, right, it's the version of, right, whether it's that on Motzei Shabbat, God taught man how to make fire himself, or he gave him fire, right, and the very elaborate Yerushalmi here, right, that Adam was afraid, he thought he was going to be attacked by the snake, so God gave him fire. What?
Okay.
Right, but that's where it comes from, right? Is that, and that is what we saw on. Right, you were at the, that I got it this year, no? No? That was what? So if you wanted to turn back, right here you have the Yerushalmi version of that story, right? Of Kevan Sheyatzat Shabbat Vehitchil. It was getting dark and he was afraid that he was going to be right, that the snake was coming, because we said that the snake would attack. Shema Balan Ashkeni, maybe he's coming to bite me. Amar Ach Choshech Yishveni, Amar Rabbi Levi Ba'oto Shah Zimin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shnei Ra'afin V'hikishan Zedzev Yatzmeina Or. So he gave it, right? God brought him to Flintstones or whatever, and he put them in fire. Came hadu dechtev laila or, but then he verich ala borei morei eish, and he said the bracha of borei morei haeish. And Shmuel Amar lefichah mavarchen aleish motzei Shabbatot shei b'tchilat priyata, and that's why we make the bracha on motzei Shabbat, because that is when it was created.
Okay.
The version of the Bavli and Nundalid is the same thing. The Mavarcha or Beim Motzei Shabbat, Beim Motzei Yom Kippur, Mechein Avadavar. That you make the bracha on Motzei Shabbat, and the Gemara says why? Meitvein Mavarcha Alor Al Motzei Shabbat. Shabbat Ho V'Tchila Priyatohu. Right. The Gemara there specifically asks whether you do it on Yom Kippur or not. Right. And the Gemara, as far as you don't do it on Yom Kippur. right? Possibly because correct. And the Yerushalmi says no, you do. But then the Gemara says you do, and the Bavli also says this, that in Yom Kippur you do, but only on a Ner Sheshachat, right? A Ner that was lit and no Malach was on it the entire day. And the Yerushalmi says Rabbi Huna b'shem Rabbi Abahu b'shem Rabbi Yochanan af motzei Yom Kippurim mevarach al shikvar shavat or kol odayom, that you make a brach on motzei Shabbat because you didn't do malacha all day. So the Yerushalmi has two svarot, right? What are the two svarot? One is that it's because it was when it was created, which is the main one in the Bavli. And the second one is to show that, right, malacha is over and you're, right, that, right, malacha is done. So one of those applies in Motzei Yom Kippur and one does not. And it seems to be that the way the Bavli takes it, on Motzei Shabbat, you can light a new flame. On Motzei Yom Kippur, you only need a flame that was lit the whole time. Why? Because on Shemotzei Shabbat, you have Tzvei Dinim. Right? It shows that Shabbat is over and the Isra Malacha is over, and this is when it was created. Whereas on Yom Kippur, it's only the second one. Therefore, you highlight that by using an Ner Sheshavat, a Ner that... Now, again, this leads to... What does this lead to? A machloket about whether this is really part of Havdalah or it's some sort of Birchat Hanen. And what's the major nafkamina in poskim? So no, everyone agrees you don't do it. Well, one is the Mechazer Acharah, but we say you don't have Mechazer Acharah. The major nafkamina, to what extent there's a Birchat Hanen, in one sense it's a Birchat HaShevach, is good. Is whether you get, the Gemara says you need to get Hanah from the fire. But the question is, do you do it before you make the bracha or after? If it's a birchat hanehenin, so then you need to make the bracha first and then see it. If it's a birchat hashevach, you need to get hana and then make the bracha. Very good. Or, as some people do, you put your fingers there.
You put it beforehand and then
after. Correct. And you leave it there. Very good. Right? Very good. And that comes from this suffix. So I'll read you Shulchan Aruch. This is in Reish Sadi Chet. Okay? I don't give it to you, but I'll read it to you. Mevarach al ner baruch mara'esh, im yeshlo, ve'ena tzarech l'chazer acharav. Right? We possibly don't have to chase it. V'hani mili motzei Shabbat, motzei Yom Kippur, im yeshlo, v'shem l'chazer acharav. By Yom Kippur, some say we actually do make you chase over it, but it has to be Ner Shabbat. Okay, fine. Mitzvah Mamuvchar is that it's an anavuka, right? Which is a multi-flamed thing. That's what we use, right? Then in Alacha Gimel, Shulchan Aruch says, Noagim listaka b'kapoda yadayim v'tziparnayim. You look at your fingers. The minhag is to look at your fingernails. And the Rama adds, v'yeshlira b'tziparnay yad yamin v'le'echoz. Akos biatzmolo, the minag is to look with your right hand, holds the wine with your left, right? And then you, v'lech lichwa d'adum d'chayad, right? You turn them, right, into your fingers. Yeah?
Why is this what we do for...
It's the separation between light and dark.
That is...
What?
Why do we use our fingernails? Why wouldn't we do it?
So that's like mystical reasons. That like, so either one is just a way of hana, is that I can distinguish between my fingernails and my fingers. And the other is like these mystical ideas that Adam Arishon used to
distinguish between.
Was covered with like was
exactly
his fingers or something. Yeah.
I heard
right, is that his entire body was made of nails.
I thought that is,
and yes.
I heard that it was supposed to be that you're supposed to see like on the nails is supposed to be a reflection of the light versus like not reflecting the light, and then if it's these shadows versus where the light doesn't shadow.
Sure.
So like as Havdalah, the separation.
Sure. Maybe.
I think you're just supposed to look at your nails and see their shine.
Maybe. I don't know.
Shiny nails, but like, yeah, no, that
I'm sure there are many different.
I always go in to see if I feel the heat, but I don't even know. I'm just trying because I don't know what I'm doing when it comes.
The reason you're supposed to see the light is just to show your fingers and your nails.
Right. So the really is that you don't actually. You might not need ana. You might need the ability to get ana. Correct.
Oh, yeah, that's also true. You don't actually need to have looked at your nails. It just has to.
Correct. You need to be close enough that you could have. Yes, that is also true. It's a sort of a yes, this is true. But yeah, you have a machloket basically.
For me, I have to take off my glasses to make sure that I could actually see.
You need great glasses. Yeah, there are fascinating discussions about glasses.
Wait, I wear contacts.
No, I'm not getting into that. Yeah.
Without my glasses on, I can't see the difference between the light until I get really close.
Now, so the Ramban says it's a birchat ha shevach. On the other hand, the Kolbo, the Ginat Vradim, thinks that it's a birchat ha nehenin. And therefore, right. So again, this leads to machloket in the post game whether you get the hana before or after. Ideally, even the people who are hearing it should get hana from it as well. But the eved, your yotze, if you didn't, those who want to be very mahadir, you've probably seen this, turn off the lights to make sure you're getting hanah from the candle itself. Okay. Now, are women chayev in this? So the Be'er Halacha quotes in 25, umistapakna. I'm not sure. Because I feel mahadir, I'm not chayev b'avdallah. Even according to people who say that women are chayev in avdallah. I'm chayev b'ir chaneir, debishlam avdallah, afshuzman grama nechlal mitzvah zachar. What's his lamdus? Why would you say that women are chayev and havdalah? Because it's part of the mitzvah of zachor, right? However, right, either daraita or darabanan. Skip down the next line. Mashen kein ner she nidgan al brita or b'motzei shabbat she nashaychel shabbat klal. But or the bracha on the candle is it a bracha of Shabbat? No, it's a bracha of motzei Shabbat when fire was created, which means it's Zman connected, but not to the mitzvah of Kiddush, because it's not the end of Shabbat, it is Motza e Shabbat. Minalan de Chayavot. So he says, what would be the svar to say you are Chayav? That it's part of Havdalah. And what does he say? But it's not. Right? This is why the question over women in all these highlights a lot of the main lumdos. He says, and don't tell me, v'ein lo markev and shenikba birgat avdallah chada dinalo. Don't tell me, well, it's part of avdallah, so it's the same chalos. It's not, d'zeino. How do I know? Because you don't need it. Right? You don't have to be mechazer achara. That shows it's not really part of avdallah. And what happens if you made avdallah and only get a nair later? What's the halacha? Make it later. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, what would be the svar to say women are chayav? It's part of Havdalah. What's the svar to say that they're not chayev? It's not part of Havdalah. And he says, which does it seem like? It's not. V'gamin chod lachzor achor. But what would be the svar to say that they are chayev? The fact that at least l'chatchila you're supposed to use it. Right? Meaning the fact that l'chatchila you do have it, does that show it's part of Havdalah, it's not essential? What's his chakira? Is it a non-essential part of Havdalah? Or not part of Havdalah, and we happen to do it at the same time as Havdalah. Nafkamina, women. So he says, on the one hand, it's not essential, which might apply that it's not part of Havdalah. On the other hand, if you have a nair, when do you do it? As part of Havdalah, and it's not considered a hefsik, which shows it's part of Havdalah. V'ulai, kevin d'chadchila mitzvah sadrum yachad chadadinehu. He says, on the end, on balance, he tells you the nice lamdos, but on balance, he thinks, which is right? They're not chayev. Which shows you that according to him, how does he conceptualize the nair? Not part of Havdalah. But you see how lumdish it is, right? It's the, right? Meaning, now what happens, therefore, if a woman has Havdalah, is making Havdalah, what should she do? So you would say, what's the problem?
She should make Havdalah.
So either she shouldn't say it, or if she does say it, what should she do? Not do it in order because of a hefsek, because if she's not chayev. So this is actually the position of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So if you look at Shmir Shabbat, he says, Isha Mavdil Atzma, the woman makes her own, Lo Tivarach Berchaner Bein Berchar Avdallah, Kereba Atzma, he Ptura Mi Berchazu. Vim Tivarach Yebazach Shash Lehefsek. Even though she's allowed to say it, but because it's probably not part of Avdallah, and she's not really chayev, so she shouldn't say it, even if you want to say it, she shouldn't say it during Havdalah, but said after she drinks. And why? Right? However, right, he quotes Rosh Hashanah and says, Ma tam yish lav kiyotan, why should you do this? Right? Why should you take say they're not chayev, lasar and l'chayim mitzvah zu, shalom daya? He's at the end of the day to thanking God. Zeche l'briya. He said, obviously they can do it, right? He thinks it's obvious they can do it. Because, okay, so you're thanking God for the creation of fire. Women can do that also, right? But what's the problem? Rav Neuwirth says, if that's really the case, then when once you say it can integrate, then she should say it al haseder, right? It's sort of weird to say that it's integrated but not integrated. Ravadya, therefore, if you look, says, oh, come on. This is too lumdish. He says, if this was true, someone would have said it earlier. Come on, right? If it's part of Avdallah, it is somewhat part of Avdallah. And he says, he says, if you think women are chayav Avdallah, chayav agam b'rechabarim re'esh. Right? He says, it is somewhat part of Avdallah. So if they're chayav in Avdallah, chayav in Eish. V'chein b'din, and that's logical. Sh'akol nechal mitz Avdallah. It is part of Avdallah. Kevur l'choshei ritvad, ishto b'chal b'nei veto. And he said, the proof is, right, that the Ritva says that that's the Bnei Beito you're making Avdallah for. And Pesachim Nadalin. V'Rebbe Yechozer V'Sodron Al-Kos Lotzi Ishto Bnei Beito V'Birchat Barim Ra'esh. And the Gemara explicitly says that Rebbe would make sure to have Eish and say everything Al-Kos for his family, including his wife, could see it with the, say Avdallah with the whole order, with Yayin and with Avdallah, with Ner and Eish and everything. Even if there isn't a minag, you can do it. Because they're obligated. It's not a mitzvah. He says, I'm against the Mishnah Berurah who says everyone's p'tirot. He says, no, the obvious opposite. Everyone agrees they are chayiv, just like Avdallah. So you see that lehalacha, the question of whether it integrates Avdallah, is a machloket aposkim, and the nafkamina is women. And Rav Moshe Feinstein as well says that women can make it, and not just at some point, but in the normal place. And that's Rav Moshe Feinstein here. Lufini yadaiti yesh lohen levarich al birchan aner dechein ha-mashmu mashem mechaber katav l'dei rishon estam nashem chayv avdala. He said that's the simple pshat. Because Shulchan Aruch said women are chayv in avdala, v'lo masik avalo tevarach aner. He didn't say and not the ner. The gav av im name of the shaykh gambas eptur the nashim tzadshu is my grandma nashim mikayim mokshorot. And he said even if you want to say they can't, but they're allowed to make a mitzvah shes is my grandma. So therefore, she can also make the bracha and she can make it in the normal time. Okay, so what we saw here is we used mostly the question of women's chiyuv using the sword and derecha to highlight some of the conceptual questions about eating, about besamim, about Aish. We also some of the weird mystical sources about beards and God knows what. But that wraps up, I think, at least some of the practical stuff on Havdalah. I guess that wraps it up. I'd still want to do the sugya of making up Havdalah later in the week. So I'll just say that whenever I give the alumni share this summer, that's what I will last year we did a share almost every Sunday, though. You got a little complicated because two of those were fast days, which is not the case this year.
Okay.
So, okay, fine.